إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد, we will continue with what we started yesterday, which is what is our brand as Muslims, what differentiates us, what distinguishes us from the rest of mankind. And yesterday we said that the first element of our brand is that we obey Allah. We only obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without question. Today we talk about the second element of our brand, or maybe this should be the first one, which is that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Muslim is the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over and above everything else. It's not just loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, He said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Allah said, the people of who have faith, the people of belief, the Muslims, are those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. أَشَدُّ is the superlative form of شَدِيد. More than anything else. أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, mentioned very categorically, and enumerated the things that we normally love and made it a condition that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than all of them. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, قُلْ إِنْ كَانَ آبَاؤُكُمْ وَأَبْنَاؤُكُمْ وَإِخْوَانُكُمْ وَأَزْوَاجُكُمْ وَعَشِيرَتُكُمْ وَأَمْوَالٌ اقْتَرَفْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَا كَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُ تَرْضَوْنَهَا أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say to them that if they love their parents, their children, their brothers and sisters, their husbands and wives, their relatives and families, and if they love that wealth in which they fear a decrease, and if they love that trade in which they fear a loss, and if they love those houses that they build, and they look at them and they feel very happy that I built this great house. If they love all of these things more than they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and jihad fi sabilillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَتَرَبَّصُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهُ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. He said, go and wait for the azab of Allah to descend on your head, and Allah does not guide the rebellious people. So the Muslim is the one who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else. I remind myself and you that when a criterion has been stated, the purpose of the criterion is that we measure ourselves against it. Because that is what will be done for us. Our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be measured on this criterion. That is the reason why the criterion is being mentioned. The people who understood this, Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, is one day praying in his, he had a very beautiful date orchard, very thick. It had a beautiful spring of sweet water in it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to go and sometimes sit there by the spring. And it was supposed to be one of the best, if not the best and most profitable date orchard in Medina. Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu one day is praying in his orchard. Obviously, he is praying a nafil salah because the sahaba of Rasulullah did not pray fard salah in their garden. They prayed the fard salah behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the masjid. So he was praying nafil salah, and while he was praying, a bird came in, a very beautiful red-colored bird, came in, flew around, and tried to get out, and couldn't find a place because I still remember when I first heard this or read this story of the Sahabi, I used to think to myself, how can a garden be so thick that a bird has difficulty finding its way out? Until one day, a friend of mine took me to one of the date gardens in Medina. It's like a roof. It's like it's not like you do. It's not like the trees grow so close together, and the branches are intertwined, the leaves, that it's literally like a roof. If it rains, you won't get wet. there's a temperature difference of maybe 10 degrees between the shade and the sun. It's so thick. So Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu is praying, and this bird comes and flies around and so on and so forth. And in the process, Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu's attention is distracted from his salah. Right? His attention is distracted. Allah alam, I do not know. The story does not say whether he actually made a mistake in his salah because of this, whether he forgot his rakat or what he did, or whether he had to make sahu. We don't know this. We just say that his attention was distracted. So what does Abu Talha al-Ansari do? What would you and I do? What does our fiqh tell us? What is necessary to do? First of all, if the level of distraction of attention is not something you don't make such a mistake that a sajda sahu is required, then even a sajda sahu is not required. Your attention wandered, so you bring it back. That's all. I mean, nothing else to be done. At the most, people like me, who might consider themselves to be very holy, what would you do? Maybe you repeat your salah. All right, so two rakat, I will pray again. And that is one of the very, very many differences between the Sahaba and people like me. What did Abu Talha al-Ansari do? Abu Talha al-Ansari radiallahu anhu finished his salah. He went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I want to give this date garden in charity. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why? He said, because of that bird which was in this garden, my salah got distracted. So I want to pay the price for this thing. Many times people come and ask me, how can I increase my khushu in salah? I'll teach you a method, right? Keep 10,000 rupees by your side as you pray. And you make niyyah that if your salah attention gets distracted, you will give this 10,000 in charity. Then keep another 10,000. Don't keep 10 rupees. Don't keep 100 rupees. Don't keep 1,000 rupees. Keep 10,000 rupees. Let it hurt. Believe me, you will get such khushu in salah that from your takbir tahrima to your salam, you will think of no one other than Allah. The Sahaba were prepared to pay a price. How did they get connected to Allah? Because they paid for the connection. They paid for the connection. Doesn't come free. Doesn't come free. We want it free. So we get a lousy connection or we get no connection at all. The Sahaba paid a price. Abu Talha al-Ansari went and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, I want to give this garden charity. Now see, the action and the speech of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is hukum in deen. Right? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have told him, don't worry, it's okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. Make tawbah. There is no need to give the garden. Did he say this? No. No. When he said, I want to give my garden, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fine, give it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't take it. He said, sell it and distribute the money amongst your own relatives. Now, there are many things to learn from this hadith. I am not going into all of those issues of what you take, what you don't take, and how, and the hikmah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I am not going into all that. All I am saying is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also did not tell Abu Talha al-Ansari, don't be such an extremist, there is no need to do this. No. Your khushu in your salah got disturbed. This is serious enough for you to give away something worth $1 million. What was the value of that garden? You're talking about acres and acres of land. We're talking about date trees in production, right? You're not talking about some small piece of something. You're talking about, I'm saying very simply, will one of us, for example, I'm not talking about acres of garden. I mean, we have people here who have, alhamdulillah, acres of gardens. Will you give it away if your khushu in salah goes? If you give it, people will say, pagal ho gaya, dimag kharab ho gaya, satya gaya bole. What nonsense is this? The Sahaba did. My point is, what is the point of telling these stories if we are not going to emulate? What is the point? It is not an entertainment majlis. You know, we are not sitting here, look, let's have some fun, let's tell some stories. Once upon a time, there was a king kind of thing. No. The purpose of this is to emulate. What is the story of Abu Talha al-Ansari? What is it showing us? It is showing his love for Allah. He shows his love for Allah. He said, Ya Allah, I was standing before you. I was worshipping you. And this bird or whatever, this garden, because of this garden, my attention got distracted from you. So I don't want this thing. I don't want this thing. Is this a loss? How can it be a loss? Because when I pay this, I get connected to my Rabb. Is it a loss? How can it be a loss? How can it be a loss? The question is, what do we see as loss and what do we see as profit? If we see the khushu in our salah as profit, then it's a different worldview. The Sahaba Rizwanullahi alayhim ajmain loved Allah. They loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They loved Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala beyond everything else. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the doors of his Jannah and he opened the doors of this dunya for them. Both. He gave them this dunya. He took the dunya and threw them at their feet. And he opened the doors of Jannah for them. He gave them the basharat of Jannah. Because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the hallmark of this ummah. That is the brand of this ummah. That we love Allah. And if we do not love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything else and anybody else, then we have to ask ourselves, do I really belong here or I don't belong here? Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for us to do what is pleasing to Him and to connect us with Him and to help us to be connected with Him always. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our eyes to the fact that for we talk, we say something and we do something else. My question to myself is, what am I willing to... Abu Talha al-Ansari gave up a halal thing. His garden was halal and it was worth a lot of money. He gave up a halal thing in order to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My question to myself is, am I willing to even give up a haram thing to connect with Allah? We know very well that certain things are wrong, yet we do it. Why? How many times have I mentioned in how many majalis that membership of clubs which involve, which have bars and which have gambling rooms and which have parties and functions in which there is free mixing of men and women and there is dancing and music, membership of such clubs is haram, haram, haram. Allah is my witness, I'm sitting on my musalla after Salatul Fajr in this masjid. Allah is my witness, it is haram. How many times have I said this? But how many people still continue to take those memberships? Still continue to keep those memberships? Why? You don't want to, you talk about loving Allah, this is love for Allah. You can't even give up something haram for the sake of Allah. What love for Allah have you got? You're waiting for Malakul Maut to come and stand before you give up this membership? I've explained all the differences. I've explained the differences between being a member of a gym in a hotel and getting a club membership with the excuse that I use the gym. I've also mentioned that it is possible today in this city to have a pure gym membership of a gym which does not have anything wrong in it. It's just a gym. There's not one. There are many like that. There are many like that. You don't even have to go to a hotel. In that gym, there is no bar, there is no nothing. There's just a gym. Go exercise if you are so, you know, interested. There is no reason for you to have membership of a club which is a gambling den and which is a place juwariyon ka sharabiyon ka adda hai. But we have lost all sense of shame. We have lost all sense of shame. We have no feeling of shame that my name is in a list with people who are known for their gambling and for their drinking and for their thieving and stealing and, you know. Ek se badke ek chora battebaza kone bolo to ye club ke member hai. List of it. Wo list ke andar aapka bhi naam hai. Mausuf ka koi sharam nahi, koi haya nahi. Aray ye zaleel ke saath mera naam kahi ko lagaye. Koi sharam nahi. then we say meri dua nahi qubool hoti. Kaisa qubool hoti re dua? Kaisa qubool hoti? Amadan Allah ko naraz karke dua qubool hoti? Seriously, seriously think about this. What are you willing to give up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because if you do not love Allah, and if you are not willing to give up things for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have no resemblance with our salaf. Khali apne aap ko salafi bolne se salafi nahi banta. Salafi ke maane kya hai? The one who follows the salaf. Today we have people who call themselves salafi, but they are the most khalafi of the khalaf. They follow all the new ones. They never follow the salaf because nothing resembles in their lives, nothing resembles the salaf. Na akhlaq salaf ke hai, na amal salaf ke hai, na ibadat salaf ke hai, na zuhud salaf ka hai. If their akhlaq are not of the salaf, their zuhud is not of the salaf, nothing is of the salaf. Tell me which salaf, which of the salaf do is your akhlaq, are your akhlaq like the akhlaq of Abu Dharr Ghifari, or the akhlaq of any of the sahaba, or of the akhlaq of is your zuhud and you're standing in the night, is it like Hasan al-Basri? Is your fikr of deen like Ibn Taymiyyah? Which salaf are you following? Which salaf are you following? What salaf? Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to yourself. We must be very, very clear in our minds. We have to, if we are of this ummah, then the brand of the ummah is we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anybody else. And that must be reflected in our lives. Which means that our lives must be free from anything which angers Allah. And they must be as close to that generation, which is the only generation which has been given the freedom from the fire. And that is the generation of the Sahaba of Allah subhanahu of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And instead of that, if our lives are resembling something else, then may Allah help us. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to lead us to that which is pleasing to Him, and to save us from that which is not pleasing to Him, and to open our eyes so that we stop fooling ourselves. Because we are the only people we are fooling is ourselves. Nobody else. Everybody else knows exactly what's happening. May Allah open our eyes that we stop fooling ourselves. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَأَصْحَابِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ